Good morning, everyone. And welcome to The Warehouse. My name is Emily Winicky, and I am the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, the Indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I am honored to introduce one of our TMR members, Andrea Wandersey, whom will introduce this morning's speaker. Andrea is the Interim Executive Director of the Northeast Holly Development Association. She has over 20 years of professional experience in higher education, healthcare, nonprofit management, and consulting. She is an MPA from the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University and a BA in History from Hartwick College. Please join me in welcoming Andrea Wandersey.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Thank you. It's my great pleasure to introduce our speaker today, Samara Hanna. And I'm going to go off script quickly, and I'm going to say I'm just thrilled to be doing this introduction. I've had the pleasure of working with Samara for the past 4 years in my role at Open Hand Theater. And her leadership in our arts community here in Central New York is phenomenal. She has vision. She's very, very smart. She sees how we're all connected. And I think she's done a huge amount of work to build community among all of our arts and culture organizations. On that note, I'll go back on script and tell you more about Samara's background. Samara is the executive director of the Red House Arts Center, where she leads the organization and its mission to build community through the arts. She began at Red House in 2014 as managing director and was promoted to executive director in 2016. Currently, she oversees all aspects of the Red House, from day-to-day operations to fundraising efforts to working closely with board and community leaders. When Red House began major construction on its new home in June 2017, Hanna was charged with overseeing the entire construction project, the transformation of 40,000 square feet in a vacant building into a new state-of-the-art home for Red House on South Salina Street. Under her leadership, the entire process was completed in 9 months, and wow, was 20% under budget. That's pretty impressive. If you haven't seen the facility yet, it is gorgeous. Samara's a professional with more than 20 years of experience working in corporations, government, higher education, and not-for-profits. She's raised seven-figure gifts and in-kind donations valued at more than $500 million. A graduate of the State of New York at Plattsburgh, she holds a bachelor's degree in mathematics. She also earned a master's of science in management and human-computer interaction from Rensselaer Polytech Institute. She's an advocate for the role the arts plays in people's personal, academic, and professional success. She enjoys spending time with family and friends, cooking, hiking, and volunteering in the community. So please join me in welcoming Samara Hanna.
Good morning. That was such a great introduction. Thank you so much. I know, I love you too. This is what we do in the arts. We're all so very happy. We're also a little bit crazy, which you'll see as we go through some of these slides, kind of the large project that Red House has recently undergone. So just quickly, I see a lot of familiar faces. A lot of you have been to Red House, but has anyone not been to Red House yet? Because we're gonna change that. Yes, come over. We would love to get you over there. So I want to just a little bit about background, the background of Red House. So Red House is a nonprofit. You know, we really pursue our vision to provide leading arts experiences that change our community and change lives. So I won't read this verbatim, but really it gives us an opportunity to reach out to people who may, either people who are arts enthusiasts, we love all of those folks. We also try to get the people who don't see where art may make a difference in their lives, and we normally change their lives. So just some quick history on Red House. We actually used to live right across the street from here. I got to park there this morning, which was great. But we were founded in 2004, and really with the vision of providing new works and new experiences for people. You know, as we grew and as time went on, we became more responsive to the community. and started to provide programming that was really focused on what the community wanted and was interested in. So from that, attendance really started to grow. In 2011, not that long ago, Red House had a really tiny staff. We had a staff of about 3 people and $500,000 budget. Today we've got about 50 full-time employees, more than 100 part-time employees, and our budget is operating at more than $2.5 million right now. So thank you. It's been great, I know. And part of my, you know, as Andrea was saying, part of my excitement is to share these progressive stories. You know, we always hear about the things that aren't working, and my goal is to remind people that there are things out there that are working and we're growing. So it's an important message for me to want to share. What types of things does Red House offer? So we have a professional main stage theater season. We have education classes, camps, theater programs, strategic partnerships, which I'll talk quite a bit a lot about today, as well as our outreach programs. So all of that came together and in our little teeny tiny house across the street. So if you're familiar with the building across the street, actually just the front part of it is Red House. The back of it is an entirely separate building. When Red House and one of our board members realized that we should just merge the two buildings, and Red House slowly started to take over the other half of the building, which technically wasn't ours. So we realized that all of that growth, you know, we were reaching 30,000 people a year. We had 12,000 square feet to make all the magic happen, you know, and then there was this great opportunity for us to figure out how we get to the next step. And we found this empty building in Armory Square with some partners, and you know, the dream began to come to life for us. So in 2014, June of 14, Red House announced that they were going to build their new space in the old Sibley's building. And then I was hired just 3 months after that. So I'm gonna go through a lot of photos. So for those of you, they made me do this. I refused to swing the sledgehammer, and they were like, no, you have to swing the sledgehammer. It wasn't pretty. But I do show this because I think it's pretty funny. So we broke ground in December of 2015. We had this wonderful ceremony in there. And from our announcement in June of 2014 until we finally went live in March of 2018, you know, I'll take you through some of the process. Early construction began shortly after we broke ground. You know, it's the permits, it's the engineering, it's the demolitions, it's a thing that nobody sees. And people were like, what is happening in that building? Nothing is happening in that building. And I'm like, so much is happening, you just can't see it yet. We did have the great opportunity to start major construction in June of 2018. We did come in under budget. I think my number is off here. And then we went live on March 8th in 2018. So it was a 9-month process. It was very aggressive. So I'm gonna show you some pictures of what the space looked like in the early construction phases when they were doing all the work that people couldn't see. This was the old warehouse part of Sibley's, which was just this big wide open space. I'm told trucks used to go in there and unload their deliveries. I know it's got a lot of great nostalgia for that area. We needed to raise the ceiling heights. So actually our piece, our 40,000 square feet, is in the parking garage side of the structure. It's got beautiful high ceilings, but we needed higher ceilings for fly space. So for, you know, the theater programming to be able to drop things in, we just needed to do this cutout. I say just needed to, like it was a piece of cake. It was very expensive. It was very dangerous. You know, you can see here, there's one skyjack in there, but then they built all the scaffolding in there, and then the construction workers actually were on the other side of that. So they were jackhammering the floor with a 25-foot drop below them, and they were standing on scaffold with 2x8 planks on top of it. It was insane. They chain linked it off so that nobody could get in there. It was pretty dangerous. And that kind of took about 6 months or so. So it really made that space, you know, completely hands off for safety reasons for, you know, a number of times. I think these are great photos. It really shows how incredible this was to watch that opening happen and then them raise the level of the ceiling height for us. Here's just some other photos of what it looked like before. It was just a wide open warehouse, lots of junk, lots of garbage, but the demolition wasn't terrible because it was already wide open space and we wanted to build flexible space for ourselves. So I just think this is funny. If anyone knows Bill Hyder is our board president, And I like to tell people he was the demolition crew. Bill is actually the mastermind of this project for us. So he's been on the board for a number of years. He's been president for a while. And it was his vision to move Red House to a larger space. So I can't give a presentation without thanking Bill for his great vision. So again, just more empty warehouse photos. It was dark, it was dusty, it was drab. Pretty quickly, we started to see the framework going up. So those demolition photos were around June. The framework was starting to go in place in early September. It was pretty aggressive. One of the things that people don't realize about building a theater is the amount of information technology that has to go into a space like this. So, you know, we talk about approximately an $8 million custom build out. There's more than 5 miles of audiovisual cable that was installed in that. And that's just for the AV side of things. That doesn't include internet, phone systems, security systems. That just includes what we need to do for our audio and visual pieces to make the magic happen. So lots and lots of cable. 5 miles is a lot of boxes of cable. So just some early construction. The bathroom tiles were going up. I thought this was a great shot just to kind of give us a glimpse of what was happening. While that was happening, the walls were continuing to go up. You see these steel beams here. It's a very urban look to the building. We tried to keep a lot of the materials that were pretty flexible in terms of setting a blank slate for Red House. We are a performing arts center, so we kind of bring the magic to the space every day, and we needed the space to not take away or get lost in all of what we do. We've got this beautiful round shape in our lobby, and this is where those walls are starting to take shape. I had no idea how they were going to hang round sheetrock, but they did. I'm told they wet it, I think. They get it wet, and then they mold it around. But, you know, just lots and lots of space. I mean, you can only imagine how much work goes into building 40,000 square feet. I now know firsthand. You know, much like this floor, we kept the floor that was existing in the space, but we had a company come in and actually create this beautiful design work on it for us. So it's stained concrete, and then we polished it. Just to kind of give it a pop and make it look like something special. The lobby space, so most people, if you've been to Red House, you've absolutely seen the lobby. It's really become a favorite space for pretty much everyone. It's a beautiful gathering area. It just kind of feels like you're somewhere different and fun and new. We do have a catering kitchen. It's not a cooking kitchen, but it's a small galley kitchen that we have access to prep stations and things like that for not only Red House, but other folks using the space. We have, this is our smaller theater. It's the mid-sized theater. It holds about 100 people. It's got lower ceiling heights. The ceiling's probably a little bit higher than this, but not much. And then theater lights, again, more of the technology behind it, just so that people get a sense of all the work that went into our crazy 9-month journey of building this space. The movers, so one of the ways we saved costs, so we had the moving quoted, and it was about $50,000 to move us from here, 3 blocks down the street to there. We had to do most of the work. We had to label and box and prep everything. And then this moving company was going to come in 2 days, pack a bunch of trucks, move it all in. And then at the end of 2 days, we had to be there and manage where all the boxes went. And I thought, gosh, that's a lot of money for just loading a truck and unloading a truck. So I actually hired my son's football team. We asked them to volunteer. I talked to the football coach and I said, "Coach, it's off season. You know, these boys are great. They don't do enough off season." He goes, "What do you got in mind?" And I told him, and he said, "It's brilliant. It's perfect. It's exactly what we need." So that's part of the creativity, you know, I think that working in the arts brings to us. So what Red House did in exchange for their volunteer time is we donated $100 per volunteer back to the Booster Club at the high school. It was the greatest thing. These boys had a ball. They all still come to my house and say, "When do I get to see a show at Red House?" Many of them have. Many of them are just dying to come back and check it out. So it's the next generation too. You know, my little tiny secret in there was slowly getting them engaged in the arts and in volunteer opportunities and being a part of their community. The architect was Navros Dabu. He is an architect with Schaffer Architects locally. This is his son who came to visit, and we gave him a sneak peek tour just before we opened. His son is actually a TV actor. If anyone here watches How to Get Away with Murder, he's Simon. He's just been deported. We don't know if he'll be back. But I'm told he's also doing a show on Showtime, so he'll be somewhere on your TV screen. So we did our first show. There's one more theater, the studio space. So it's about this size. It's not quite shaped. It's more of a square. But the studio is a black box. It's a true black box space. It's a rehearsal space. It's also a performance space. It holds between 50 and 65 people to do a performance space. And we were able to do Steve Hayes's show. It was a brand new show written for Red House as one of the first things we did in that space. And it was called Raised by Warner Brothers, Born in Syracuse. So we were able to have a world premiere of that show here. And it was a sold out event. We opened our season prior to Steve's show in our biggest theater with On Golden Pond. This is the cast of On Golden Pond. Kind of in the center there, the gentleman with the silver hair is Fred Grandy. If anyone here was an old Love Boat fan, Fred was Gopher on the Love Boat. It was a great hit. He and his daughter Mariah had never done a live theater show before, so Mariah was cast. She's the woman all the way on the end. Alongside him to play his daughter. So it was just great to see the two of them coming together and having that first experience on a live stage together. So here's some after photos. So you can see we went from those round framed walls. We now have color and texture and people. That was the most exciting day for me on March 8th when we had people in the space. And you know, you just get so caught up in the construction. And every day I would go to my job at Red House, and then I'd put on my hard hat and I'd walk three blocks to the construction space. And you know, it was just, everything was covered in dust. I still have construction dust in my house. But you kind of lose track of, you know, the ultimate vision, which is this: people in the space, people excited about what we've done. You know, you're just in that process mode of making sure everything's ready, making sure everything's clean, everything's right. And then people showed up, and watching their faces was the greatest re-energy surgence that I had in a very long time. Just some more shots of what the space, the finished space looks like. This is our main lobby. This is Theater One. This is actually a photo that the Syracuse New Times took, and it's one of my favorites. It's just a great shot from backstage. This is how the space events transforms for events. It's the way the lobby kind of gets all dressed up. And I think it really looks like something special. So just a few more slides. And then this is Josh Reed. Josh was my partner in crime in the whole construction process, so just someone else that I like to say thank you to. He used to work at Red House, and then he took a year off, and he came back. And when he came back, he said, "What can I do to help with construction?" And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." So I think there were some days he was like, "What did I sign up for?" But the two of us, so he was really the person I relied on for the theatrical components of what we needed. He was our production manager at the time and really had a sense of what the technology needs were, what the infrastructural needs were, the types of curtains we needed, those sorts of things. Things nobody ever thinks about when they're building a space. So all of that kind of wrapped up. We now have a brand new 40,000 square foot space. We have three performance spaces, rehearsal rooms, classrooms, a scene shop that's bigger than this space. My staff keeps asking if they can build a basketball court in there. The answer is no, especially because my insurance guy is here. Still tell him no, Jason. Just everything is bigger. We have the right space to do the right things. In Little Red House, we were 2 to 3 people per office. When we were doing a show, we'd be like, "Excuse me, we need your office as a dressing room. We're going to move you and put you now 5 to an office." And you know, fortunately, the staff was flexible and great and really excited about the final product and willing to relocate and you know, pick up their desktops and move down the hall for a few weeks. But that's not really how you run an organization. It's commotion. It's a lot of wasted energy. It is the most disruptive process you could possibly think of. And we were still growing through all of that. So not the worst case scenario, but not the best scenario either. So what does this do for us? You know, we now have this beautiful space, and what is it doing for Red House? It's giving us a chance to really sustain our growth. You know, my vision is not to stop growing, but in order to do that, we have to know that we can sustain what we've already done. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been demonstrating with this new space. So more ticket sales. We are currently searching for a new artistic director. We are in the final phases of that process and hope to have someone in place by the end of the calendar year. You know, when our last full-time artistic director left, we were just getting ready to start the major construction project. And, you know, we had hired a consulting artistic director, and the advice was, you're in transition. You can certainly hire somebody, but what if you don't get the right person for the new space? You might get the right person for this space. And it's asking a lot of someone to come and not really know what season they're planning for and where the split in the season is. So we took his advice and we kind of pieced it together over a couple of seasons. And it wasn't terrible, it was great. We still continued to do what we do and did it very, very well. But now that we're there, we're settled, this is our first full season is in motion. It's time we get a leading artistic director who's here and can carry us to that next level of programming at Red House. We will continue to cast professional actors, but also continue to leverage the local talent that we have here. If anyone saw Steel Magnolias, that was done with all local actors. It was really exceptionally done. It was a great way for us to start our season this year, and you know, we beat projections, which was fantastic. So we want to continue to present new works and world premieres, and then also rentals. Rentals is something that we didn't really know how much or how little demand would be for that, and we have very quickly realized that demand is very high, and our space is getting a lot of use, which is exactly what we wanted it to do for us. So this season, our inaugural season, we're doing Steel Magnolias, which just closed. We're doing a Charlie Brown Christmas, Almost Maine, I'm Not Rappaport, and The All Night Strut. And combined, we've got kind of all the things I was talking about. We've got professional actors. We're actually bringing Fred Grandy and Ted Lange. So again, back to The Love Boat, the gentleman who played Isaac on The Love Boat, the bartender. The two of them have not been together since they did the Love Boat on TV back in the 70s. It may have ended in the 80s. Not sure exactly what date. But they're super excited to come back, and actually they're both still doing live theater and all kinds of great things. Ted is actually a playwright and a director. But they will come back and do I'm Not Rappaport for us in March, which is going to be great and funny and uplifting. We are looking to kind of re-engage our family programs. We do a lot with education, but our family programming, last year we didn't have a kids show as part of our main stage. So bringing a Charlie Brown Christmas back into that Christmas slot was very important to us. We're presenting Rapunzel. It's a touring group that comes in and does a school tour, and we'll have them for a show at Red House. It was very well received last year. They did Cinderella, Once Upon a Mattress, another family-friendly show. And then partnerships. You know, we partner with everybody and anybody. So here's a couple of partnership examples of what we're doing with our partners in the arts. So CNY Jazz, you know, when we decided to do the All Night Strut, I said, gosh, I don't know very much about jazz. So I called my friend Larry Luttinger and said, hey, can we chat? And he said, great, let's co-produce this. We'll provide the musicians, you provide the actors and the rest of the theater piece of it. And we're very, very excited to kind of bring these two organizations together for a common main stage offering at the end of our season. And then Almost Maine is a play, and it's kind of going to appeal to all ages, but we're trying to target some younger parents. So we're going to partner with the Most, and the Most will do some children's programming. So you'll kind of be, you drop your kids off at the Most for a day of something, and then you get to have a little afternoon date. We'll do it during a matinee at Red House. Just a way to kind of get people when they're downtown to think about doing more than one thing and stopping at more than one place. Some other partnerships that are not based in the arts, we do work with Syracuse City School District. We are teaching hundreds of kids every single day. We're a push-in special, so we've got about 30 staff members who are full-time employees of Red House. They go to the school that they're assigned to every day. We don't see them very often at Red House. And they take over a classroom. Like kids would be pulled out for gym or for art class. We go into the class. The teachers go off and do professional development, and we teach them. It's art-based curriculum to learn core subject matter that is relevant to their age and grade. So we're doing costume design right now. It's our unit, and it goes from pre-K all the way through eighth grade. But depending on the age, so when you're studying states of matter, your superhero, your costume is a superhero, and you have to decide what superpower you have. Is it a liquid, solid, or gas? And then you've got to design your costume to reflect that. So we're cutting capes this week. Lots of capes for the kids. Arkham Onondaga, we have a wonderful partnership with them. Actually, Once Upon a Mattress will be our show that we do in collaboration with them this year. It's part of our inclusion and making sure that the arts are accessible to everybody, part of what we do. So we do workshops with ARC of Onondaga participants, and then those teens and adults with disabilities engage in a main stage show for us and with us. We cast them with professional and local actors. We also have an opportunity to, we'll double cast roles, so we give them a mentor. And we'll put two people in the same role, we'll dress them similarly, and they'll kind of go through it together. And then depending on how people are feeling, they've got someone who's got their back throughout the whole process. And it's one of the most exciting things we do all year, and I encourage you all to come and see that show and just see how we are transforming people through the work that we do. Upstate Medical University, we go into Golisano. We work with some of the residents and kind of engage them in arts-based lessons as part of their, it's not a required curriculum, but it's kind of extended curriculum in some of the classes that they do. And then Hillside Family of Agencies, we do work with a lot of teens who are at risk. We teach them how to write little skits, how to, you know, have public presentation skills and whatnot. We do that through a series of workshops that ends in a culminating showcase experience as well. We also have education and outreach. So we're very busy. You can tell why we need 40,000 square feet. So theater, music, dance, visual art and design, all of part of what we do in our education program. Outreach and inclusion, we've already talked about most of this. Just some quick pictures. This is some of our kids in our summer theatrical institute program. Here we have one of our instructors. He's the gentleman with his back to us. He's doing an exercise at Golisano Children's Hospital. And the great thing about that is it's not only for the kids who are at the hospital for extended stays, it also engages their families and their caregivers. So it gives them a common experience that's really exciting and uplifting and positive. So in the schools we teach, this year we're teaching 1,800 kids every single day. We're in Seymour, which is a dual language academy, Fraser Elementary and Middle School, and Van Dyne Elementary School. We are doing after-school programs that engage 300 kids a day, and I say choice because these kids sign up to be there. They sign up to stay there until 5 o'clock, and they choose what they get to do with Red House, whether it's music-based, dance-based, or theater-based. And then we bring our school tour in again this year. It's going to be Rapunzel. And right now we are scheduled to reach 15,000 kids, and there's still four slots that have not been filled yet. It's great. Just another picture of how we engage the kids. This is one of our SESD classes last year. So since we opened a mere 6 or 7 months ago, we have done 3 professional main stage shows, 2 educational shows, 1 world premiere, dozens and dozens of rentals. We had more than 300 kids in our space this summer, which was extraordinary because we always had to cap off between 60 and 75 in the old space. We just couldn't get them in the building. About 3,500 school kids have been reached in that amount of time in the classroom. We've held concerts, fundraisers, rentals, and we have engaged more than 13,000 people in our new space since we opened in March. What is all that doing for us? So theater builds a budget. When you're building your budget for your main stage program, you don't assume you're going to fill every seat in the house. You certainly wish and hope that, but the assumption is based on metrics that somewhere between 60 and 70% capacity through the run of a show is a very healthy organization. And that's where we build our budgets to. When we've got something that we know might push a little bit harder, we build the budgets up a little bit more. And when we're kind of throwing something out there that's new and more risky, we bring it back a little bit. But that's about where we budget our audience attendance numbers. We've been beating that. On Golden Pond, La Cage aux Folles, which ended our last season, and Steel Magnolias have all extended well beyond that 70% capacity. 30% of the people coming are brand new to Red House. You know, we've run between 30 and 35 on all 3 of those shows, and we're still bringing new people in. So that's got me super excited. We sold out our summer education programs. We actually had to hire more teachers this summer, so not a bad situation to be in, but there was a scramble just before we started classes. The increased visibility is good and bad. You know, any fire marshals in the room? They've been wonderful, but it's definitely keeping those back hallways a little bit clearer. And then just greater demand for rentals. You know, there's need for space in Syracuse and space for what we do. The lights are hung, the infrastructure for sound is already in place, and it's getting a lot of use by other groups. Beyond what we do at Red House, so phase two, everyone asks what's going on with the rest of the building. Once you get into the building, you know you're somewhere special. When you're on the outside, you kind of aren't quite sure you're in the right place yet. So phase two of construction, so I'm just going to talk about the rest of the building right now, which is not part of Red House. Although we're part owners of the project, it's not part of what we do in our daily operations. So the first thing they're going to do is make the outside of the building much more attractive. They're going to cut this huge courtyard entrance that ties us right into Armory Square. It's on the Jefferson Street side of the building. They will reskin the entire building, open it up with windows, just make it really appealing. The parking garage will continue to get brought online. The main entrance level is functional right now. The rest of the levels aren't, and it just has to do with making sure we have security cameras in place, getting power to the rest of the parking garage. You know, those sorts of safety features are really top priority to us. So we've actually boarded off those sections so that people can't access them until we know they're ready for all of that. We're changing the culture on South Salina Street. You know, the Allen Family Foundation recently announced that they're putting a building on the other side of our block. There's tons of construction between the downtown Marriott and Armory Square, and just being a part of that transformation is going to change that 400 block of Salina Street into what it really should be and what it used to be. It really used to be kind of the epicenter of what was happening here in downtown Syracuse. So, you know, the Landmark Theater, the Most, and Red House, we're all kind of trying to work together to create a critical mass of arts and culture in that one little tiny space. So, you know, bringing more people downtown, our goal is when you come downtown, you stay downtown, you do something else, not just come to Red House. That's what the partnership with the Most is all about. We work with local restaurants. We'll be bringing a cabaret singer in for the weekend of Valentine's Day, so the 15th and 16th, but we'll partner, because it's also part of Downtown Dining Week, we'll partner with different restaurants to try to engage that downtown experience for people. That whole other side of the building, there is about 194,000 square feet of Class A office space available. The main floor will be retail, and then the upper floors will be reserved for Class A office space. And then the parking garage will hold up to 750 cars once it's fully online, which will be a great asset to downtown Syracuse. Connecting us to Armory Square, new jobs downtown. The projections right now are that those Class A offices can hold about 700 people. So bringing all those jobs into downtown, we already talked about the critical mass of, you know, working with our collaborative partners, not just in that part of downtown, but kind of all across. It's about a mile and a half. I think you can hit about 10 or 12 arts organizations in a really teeny tiny, from, you know, Syracuse University kind of down to here. There are so many arts and cultural organizations. This is just a bigger picture of that. So you can see this corner here on the side looks out into Armory Square. So, this isn't what it's ultimately going to look like, but the first tenant in that upper corner gets to decide if they want an open balcony or a big glass office. When I win the Mega Millions, I'm building my apartment up there someday. How can you all be a part of this? You know, come see a show, come to an event, support the arts locally. You know, send your kids or your grandkids to camp. Spread the word, you know, talk to people about what's happening here with the arts and cultural community. Host a corporate event, and my next typo. Buy a tile, we've got little naming tiles that support the space, or name a space. We've got lots and lots of things coming up next. This is just a quick run of the stuff we have going on in the theater. And that's almost my last slide, because my last one says thank you and questions. But I would like to go back to this one just so that you can all take a look. I did bring some brochures that give you a sense of what we have going on this year. Sorry, I kind of sped talk through this, but I'm super excited about what we're doing. It's been a phenomenal transition for Red House as we go from 12,000 square feet to 40,000 square feet. And then as we get ready to announce a new artistic director and then bring the whole building online, I think we'll start to see that sustainability piece that we're all anxious to get in place. Thank you.
I understand.
Thank you.
I understand that parking is coming to the building itself, but at the moment, Is there any provision other than what we all know exists?
So for Red House, the building has opened that main level off of Clinton Street. So when we have guests who come, it's staffed during events. So it is paid parking when there are events downtown. You know, we try to keep it because we have to lock the garage every night. So we try to limit that parking to people who are guests of Red House, because otherwise we're there until people are done with their bars at the end of the night. So it's coming online. But if you do come to a Red House event, the garage is open and available.
I'm glad that you're part of the arts and cultural partnerships in the area. This seems to be a growing movement, and it's working for everyone. I'm wondering if you could say a little bit more about your partnership with Oasis, which you didn't mention, and also, is there anything going on with Syracuse Stage?
Great question. So Oasis is a newer partner to us. And we're working, because of the programming that we're offering with On Golden Pond and with I'm Not Rappaport, we've been working with Oasis, and we're also looking to provide workshops and experiences where folks from that community can come and be a part of it. I know there's been some talk about perhaps doing a writing workshop where they can work on their pieces. That's in the works. It's through our outreach programs, which are run through the Education Department. But they've been a really wonderful partnership, you know, from the very beginning. Syracuse Stage, we have a great relationship with Syracuse Stage. We traditionally would get some of our stage managers through the VPA program at Syracuse University. The challenge is the timing. You know, we're always at the break, you know, because when you put on a main stage production, rehearsal is 2 weeks, the run is about 2 weeks. It's a month, but the stage manager and the production team have to start about 3 months out. So they start with their production meetings. And if we can get someone who's a fairly local student who doesn't, you know, who's able to be here in early August to help us through our first show, or be here at the end of May to get us through our last show. But Syracuse Stage has been a great partner. We share mailing lists, we cross promote. You know, we try to share resources where we need them. We'll call them sometimes for a crazy set piece and say, we need a church pew. They didn't have one, but the Mission did. So we drove over to the Mission restaurant, stole their bench from by the restrooms, and put it in Lacage. But we all do rely on each other to kind of get through the things that, you know, this community needs.
It was a terrific presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I have a couple questions. One is about membership in the Red House. How do we get to that? And also the parking garage, is that open for the general public other than Red House? Can we use it for, say, Armory Square?
So I'll address the parking one first. It's risky if you are not coming to Red House because it's not staffed full time. We don't know whose car is in there. So when we're done at the end of the night, there's oftentimes cars in there. So we don't encourage it to be used by the general public until we get to the point where it's staffed and we've got someone other than our staff who have to be relied on to open and close the garage. So right now it's limited to folks who are coming to Red House for our events and functions. And then the membership piece. So Red House did have a membership, and we've kind of put that on hiatus for the last few years. We do have season subscriptions. We are, you know, once we have better membership benefits, I think the challenge with our memberships was that our ticket prices were so low. By the time you got your membership benefit, it didn't really offset itself. So we're really looking to make sure that having a membership program truly drives some benefits that are tangible. Our hope is that once we have a new artistic director in place, we'll revisit all of that. But we do sell season tickets. We do have, you know, VIP mailing lists if you want to be on our event mailing list, if you want to be on our standard mailing list. There's a lot of ways that we can keep you informed and get you engaged until such time.
Have you been able to secure ongoing funding from the county like a lot of the other arts organizations?
Yeah, so very interesting question. So there's a group of arts leaders called ACLA, which is the Arts and Cultural Leadership Alliance. We actually all just had a special meeting yesterday. With the transition at the county level, You know, we're just trying to figure out what's going to happen for our industry in particular. So Red House has not been able to secure additional funding. I am working with CNY Arts right now. So our funding right now is still based on what our budget was in 2011. It is very, it's a fraction, percentage-wise, of what the other arts organizations are getting. The challenge is the pie's not getting any bigger. You know, the funding pot of money that comes from the room occupancy tax that's given to arts and culture organizations is not, it's grown a little bit, but not enough to really get us to where we are. My understanding is that percentage-wise, we get about 10% of where most of the other organizations are as a percentage of their budget. So it's pretty small. I've actually been spending a couple of years lobbying and banging the doors and whatnot. We have been elevated to a tier one institution because of the size of our, or a tier one because of the size of our budget. Just the requirements, we were too young and too small to be a tier one prior to a couple of years ago. But we have been elevated to that. Unfortunately, it hasn't impacted our funding level yet, but I'm not done asking.
Could you talk about the film program for this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. We have the great pleasure of hosting the International Film Festival at Red House this week. So last night they had their big kickoff event. Grace Jones was the star, and she did Skype in last night from a set in LA. She was supposed to be here in person, but her schedule changed in Los Angeles. So that was fantastic. They showed three different of her films in three different spaces at the same time. And then there's a whole schedule of events that starts at about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning and runs until the wee hours of the night. I will be in bed. I'll be there for a portion of it, but I've also got to do a college visit with my son, so I can't be there early in the day. But it's really exciting. I just got an email from Bob Herz this morning, who's the president of their board, and he said that last night's event was exactly what they had envisioned, and it went off spectacularly. And it was a great way for us to showcase how three spaces functioning at the same time can actually work. It's still a little bit of a test for us. We haven't bitten off quite this much all at the same time. So, you know, to have it all go off and go off well was a huge achievement for us. Thank you. And the parking garage will be open for that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Any word as to potential new tenants for the space, and how is that coming along? We're all very excited to hear some news on that.
Yeah, we are too. So if you all remember a couple years ago, Aspen Dental had announced that they were going to be moving downtown and taking the entire rest of the building, which would have been full and occupied and completely finished at this point. Unfortunately, that didn't work itself all the way through the process. So in order for us, it's a $25 million construction loan. I will take loans from anyone here. If you have a $25 million check in your pocket, I am happy to take it. But it's a $25 million construction loan that we need to do the rest of the building. So in order to get the banks to give us that money, we need to have about 50% occupancy secured in the building. So we're working with about four or five organizations right now that would give us more than two full floors, which then activates that loan. The challenge is timing. You know, it's people coming off of leases, it's people moving from different locations, and they all kind of have to be ready and willing to sign a lease within the same amount of time. Not everybody wants to sign a lease and then wait for a year for everybody else to sign the lease. So it's taking longer than we want. Our hope is that in the next 6 months or so, we'll have those leases in place. And then, you know, much like our space, if they let me be the project manager, people will be in there in 9 months. But they're going to do it all at the same time. So skinning the building, cutting out the courtyard, working on the custom spaces, and doing the customized build out. So our hope is that 18 to maybe 24 months after that, you'll really start to see that other side of the building get filled up. And once they start doing the outside of the building, I think it's going to change the dynamics and the interest. And, you know, hopefully there will be a waiting list for the building.
It may be a little bit too early, but do you have a sense of the audience demographics?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's something that I do look at quite a bit. So Red House tends to have a little bit younger of a demographic in terms of age than most of our partner and peer institutions that do what we do in this community. We're starting to see that shift up a little bit. I think that's because of the programming that we're offering, because we've got shows like On Golden Pond and Steel Magnolias. we're starting to get more people who are, I think, considered the traditional theater goers who have more time. So we have probably 25% of our audience is out of market because we do bring in directors and designers and actors who are out of market. They do bring in a certain amount of people. If we're not counting our education programs, we've got a good mix. There was a big study done locally about 10 years ago, and they kind of identified the target demographics for Red House audience. And it's what you would expect. It's urban ambitious, so it's kind of the young singles living downtown. It's the Silver Fox community, which is kind of the folks who are retired and have a little bit of extra money to be able to go and support things like theater and do that. And then it's also kids and cabaret. So younger families that, like to go and experience theater as well. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
I'm not sure how this relates to the question that was just asked, but you mentioned earlier that you have 30% new attendees. How do you know that?
So we have a ticketing system where we can look and see. So if you buy a ticket today, we can actually run a list of all the people who bought tickets, and we can see if there's any history against you. So if you've never purchased a ticket from us before or come to a class, then you're a brand new patron in our system. And there's a way that we can take a look at those numbers. So we went to a new ticketing database about a year and a half ago. And it's just easier. The other one was a little more complicated and more than we needed. So we went to one that's a little bit easier for us to use and is exclusively for ticketing, so we can pull that information out easier.
For older people in our community, that may want to attend some of your performances, do you have railings so that people can go down the aisles safely? Syracuse Stage just put some in, and it's very effective. And maybe you should take a look at it, but I urge you to appeal to the older generations in the community if you want to increase your attendance.
Okay, we'll definitely do that. And there are rails on the side, so the way our spaces are all flexible, so we can rearrange the seats however we need to. We can take all the seats out. It's not a quick and easy, it's not a compressible bleacher system, but a couple of strong guys and some wrenches and that space gets cleared out pretty quickly. But there are rails up the sides, and we did work very closely with all the ADA compliances and the fire marshals to make sure that we had the right size aisles. And our chairs are modular, but they're all attached together, which is a requirement. So there are things that you can kind of hold on to as you go. And if you do need special seating and want to be closer to the front, you can certainly ask our box office staff. We also offer a senior citizen discount. I think it's a $5 off per ticket. So if you call and just say, I would like a $5 off because I've earned it in my years of wisdom, then that's great too.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, please join me in thanking Samara Hanna.
Thank you.